warm welcome tonight to Garrett Beeler.
Good evening. It is so great to be back here with you guys at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. Thank you so much for having me. And I have to tell you this evening that whether or not you're a regular attendee, if you will, on Wednesday nights, maybe you don't go to church very often and you're here this evening, maybe you got blackmailed into being here tonight, but regardless, you're here. I want you to know that God's desire for us as His church, as His people who are created in His image, is so that we would gather together here to hear from His Word and to receive from Him and to be more like Jesus when we leave this place than we were when we came here. And I want you to know right off the bat that what we're going to be looking at tonight in our study of God's Word is going to be found in Mark chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, please open to Mark chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 16 through 20. And then also, I'm going to have you turn or put a bookmark in John chapter 1 as well. And we'll be picking up in verse 35 in just a moment. But before we pray and get into our study of God's Word, I want you to know that this night is a special night. And no, it's not because I'm here, okay? This is a special night because the Lord is going to speak to us through His Word. I really, truly believe from the bottom of my heart that there needs to be in the church today a recommitment to living after what the Word of God says. Absolutely. Because even today, thank you, you guys right there. The Bible tells us that in the last days, people will walk away from what the Word of God says. And that people, if we even want to put a modern spin on it, modern vernacular, that the church would be more influenced by what pop culture says about main issues than what the Bible says. And so tonight, I want you to know that God has brought you here this evening. He was the one that put the thought in your head, I should go to church tonight. Some of you might be quick with a rebuttal, no, that was my wife putting my thought in my head. No, the Lord brought you here. And not only that, who do you think was the one that protected you as you drove here? Gave you traveling mercies to get to this place safely. And then if we take it to the next level, who was the one do you think that saved the seat that you're sitting in? I know you don't realize this, but your name's actually on your seat. No, don't really turn around because you're not going to find it there. But God actually saved that seat for you. What if I move over to the seat next to me? Well, He knew that seat would be open, and that's why He left it there for you as well. So He didn't bring you here to waste your time. He didn't bring you here, to kind of get your ticket punched, where I went to church for this week. The Lord is going to speak to you, and specifically tonight, we're going to be dealing with those, maybe even you that are here tonight, that have struggled with your relationship with the Lord and trying to be a better person and trying to be more like Jesus. And you found yourself maybe frustrated, maybe discouraged, maybe feel like quitting. Maybe you're like, you know what, I've tried this whole Jesus thing and this church thing and it's just not working for me. We're going to see from the Bible what Jesus does and how only Jesus can do the very work of making us become like Him as we follow Him. So would you please join with me as we pray? And we're going to ask the Lord to bless this night as we study His Word. Father, we thank You so much that Your Word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank You, Lord, that it pierces down into those deepest, innermost recesses of our hearts, Lord. And so tonight we ask, God, that You would give us ears to hear what Your Spirit would say. Lord, we have not come here tonight to be entertained. Lord, we have come to hear from You and from Your Word. And so, Lord, we ask that Your Spirit would move and that You would encourage those that are discouraged. Lord, those that are getting beat down by sin, Lord, that You would raise up that standard and give them strength and give them victory. Lord, for those that feel that they're too far gone and that they've made too many mistakes, Lord, that tonight they would understand Your unconditional love for them. And how You see the future and You see what's ahead and You see their potential if they'd only follow You. And Lord, I pray now that You would add Your blessing to the reading and study of Your Word. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people say loudly, amen. Amen. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. This evening's message I have entitled, I Will Make You. And hopefully it's very, very clear why it has been titled as such by the time we're done this evening. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 16, as we read our Bibles. If you have a Bible, you can open it. If you have an app, you can open that. If you didn't bring one, maybe you can read on with somebody next to you. And make sure you bring your Bible so you can see what it says for yourself. It says, as he, and this is speaking of Jesus, Mark chapter 1, verse 16, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Now, as we read this chronologically, this actually isn't the first time that Jesus has seen these two guys. This is not the first time that he's run into Simon and Andrew. Andrew was actually a follower of John the Baptist. So turn in your Bible to John chapter 1, and let's look at verses 35 through 42. John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42. It says, the next day again, John the Baptist was standing with two of his disciples. Verse 36, John 1, if you're still turning there. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what are you seeking? And they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? And he said to them, come and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two who heard, verse 40, John 1, who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which means the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which means Peter. So here we see these two guys, fishermen by trade. This is what they did as a lifestyle. They did it growing up. Their dad, that was the family business. These guys knew the right bait, the right tackle, the right time to go out, the right locations. They were pros. They knew how to go about their trade. For those of you that are taking notes tonight, we only have a few, but point number one is this. Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. In verse 17 of Mark chapter 1, you can flip back there now as we get to our main text for this evening. It says, as Jesus came across these two brothers, Simon and Andrew, he said to them, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. Subpoint, letter A, phrase, follow me. Point one, Jesus is calling, letter A, follow me. Now, what exactly was Jesus saying here? Even maybe more importantly, what were Peter and Andrew thinking? I mean, we're really familiar with the phrase fishers of men and follow me. But what in the world were Peter and Andrew thinking when Jesus said, hey, follow me and I'll make you become fishers of men? I mean, were they thinking, what are we going to do? Like row our boats up to people, throw nets on them, capture them, sell them into slavery? Is that what's going to happen? Fishers of men? I'm going to catch them? What does this mean? What was Jesus saying? Well, it was not uncommon for a rabbi to have followers, aka disciples. Jesus was calling Peter and Andrew into a full-time lifestyle of following his every move. Every move. Jesus wasn't saying, hey, guys, follow me when it's convenient, or follow me when you feel like it, or follow me when it works out for your schedule, or follow me after you've sown enough of your wild oats and partied enough and lived the life that you want to live. And, you know, right as you're about to die, then follow me. He didn't say that. He said, follow me. He wasn't saying partially follow me or sometimes follow me. We mistakenly think that full-time commitment only applies for marriages, you know, in sickness and in health, for richer or for poor, in the good and the bad, to love and to cherish until death do us part. We think that sometimes my relationship with God is basically based upon how I feel it should be. And that's why I mentioned earlier today about the church needing to be in a place where they recommit to living according to God's word and stop making up what they believe. Because in the last days, the Bible says that men, people, will have teachers raised up and they want to hear things that tickle their ears. They want to hear what they want to hear. They may not like what the Bible has to say, and quite honestly, there are a lot of people in the world today that do not. But then what happens in the church is, like, you'll have people like, yeah, I like how Jesus loves, I like how, you know, forgiveness of sins, man, that's probably on the top of the list, going to heaven, that's a really good one. But, you know, I don't really like this other part right here where it says that I can't sleep with my girlfriend before I'm married. So let's just pull that one out, because we're going to get married one day and we're, you know, we're serious. So, you know, that's okay. And we'll start twisting things. And we start actually, and what ends up happening, elevating ourselves above God's word as if we are the authority. What does God mean by that? That doesn't really fly. Come on, man. It's 2014. You know, that this is the modern age. The word of God doesn't apply to that. No, listen. Jesus, when he says, follow me, he is calling us to leave our life, to leave everything and follow him. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, you don't need to turn there, but in 23 and 24 of Luke 9, Jesus said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? So right now, God only knows what's going on in your life. He knows the things that are hidden in your life. He knows the issues, the struggles that you might have. And we can be very good at hiding those things or rationalizing sin in our life as if it's not that bad, or I have it under control, or, you know, I'll get around to it one day. And we don't understand that when Jesus says, follow me, he says, you deny your own lust. You deny your own flesh. You cannot serve God and serve the lust of the flesh simultaneously. Like, you're either in or you're out. But so many people, and I remember when I was at Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, I pastored there and taught a study called Monday Nights Live for about 9 years. And Pastor Chuck would always say that there's guys that have 1 foot in and 1 foot out. And he called them mugwumps. And I'm like, Chuck, that's... wow, okay, what is mugwump? I mean, that sounds kind of weird. Yeah, he says they're mugwumps because they got their mug on one side and their wump on the other side, you know? And 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Like, I kind of like this, but I don't like that. Or, you know what, I'm committing this far, but there's certain areas of my life that I'm not really ready to give over to the Lordship of Jesus yet. And it's not to be that way. It's not to be that way. When you ask yourself, is this really profiting me? Would I trade where I spend eternity for this relationship or this habit or this position? Lord, is this really worth my salvation? Is this worth my relationship with you, Lord? Is this something that I want to continue to have perpetuated in my life? Or do I want to change? Do I want to be done with that? Maybe you found yourself tonight and you're like sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you're going, man, what do I do to change? I'm trying to let go of this, but I found that it has a death grip on me. That's why Jesus said, whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. To follow Jesus. Now is not the time to be a mugwump. Now is the time to be all in and following Jesus. And he says, follow me. This is for the church, because we have a tendency to veer off. We have a tendency of, left to our own devices, that we compromise. If we're not grounded in the Word of God, and thank God, you guys have such a phenomenal church that you can call home, and an amazing Bible teacher of a pastor, Pastor Jack, that brings it regularly, so whether you love it or hate it, you know what the truth is. But you need the Word of God so that you can stand on your own 2 feet spiritually. Because here's the deal. We can get to a point in our life where we're just going, okay, what's the purpose for living? Why am I here? You know, what am I supposed to be doing? And I can tell you right now, it is to follow Jesus and to have a personal relationship with the God who created you. And don't accept any substitutes. Satan's all about the counterfeit. He's all about the distraction. He's all about getting you lured away in a different direction than where God would have you to go. And so when Jesus is saying, follow me, I'm hoping that some of you here tonight would be like, you know what? I am not following after Jesus because my actions are speaking louder than my words, and I need to change. I need to repent. I need to follow Jesus, because truly, I've asked myself, what will it profit me if I gain the whole world and I lose my own soul. It isn't worth it. It's not. After Jesus' death and resurrection, he appeared to Peter and he asked him, and maybe you remember this story, where Peter is there and the author doesn't give us a description of the surroundings, but I think it was intentional. Because Jesus would ask Peter this question, Peter, do you love me more than these? What were the these? Now, there's a lot of commentators that say, well, that was the fish, or it was the boat, or it was his friends, or it was his house down the road, or whatever it might be. And let me ask you that same question tonight. If there is an area that is not pleasing to God, can I ask you this question honestly, even as Jesus did? Do you love him more than these? What are the these in your life? What is the thing in your life that would be hindering you from following Jesus with all of your heart? Because we have all sinned, the Bible says. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, myself included. And you know what? It didn't make me feel better afterwards. Sin's pleasurable for a moment, but afterwards we're left empty. And we're left feeling sick, and we're left feeling like there's got to be something more. Or there's even the great letdown, or where we say something like, that was it? That's all it was? And we look for the next high, we look for the next rush, we look for the next thing that can replace what we tried last time. Do you love me more than these? It's easy to become discontent. I mean, I struggle with this majorly, actually. Every time I walk into Costco and look at the TV section. And you know what? And it's not bad enough that they have these amazing TVs in there, but you buy a big screen and then next week you come back there and what they do is they say, look at this big one, and they put yours framed inside the gigantic one. Have you ever seen that? Those dirty guys. Oh, my 55 looks like it's a screen, little computer monitor now compared to the big 80 or whatever that might be out. And that's the way that the world is. Always something more. Always something more. In verse 17 of Mark chapter 1, verse 17, it says, then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Some point number two, fishers of men. Remember point number one was Jesus is calling letter A. Remember, follow me. Okay, follow me, I've heard of that. Letter B is fishers of men. Now, at this particular point, Peter had no idea what would be recorded of him in Acts chapter 2. Years prior, Jesus tells Peter, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. And down the road, in Acts chapter 2, it says in verse 14, Peter standing up with the 11 raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who are in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. And for the next 27 or so verses, he preaches one of the most amazing messages recorded in the scripture, so that it says in Acts 2, verse 41, then those who gladly received what Peter said were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Peter, you're mending your nets, you're just sitting there. Hey, you're working at that gas station. You're a clerk at that bank. You know what? You're this person. You're that person. You manage over here at this business. But Jesus is saying, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. He knew in his foreknowledge that Peter would get up to a crowd of people, a mass of people, when he wasn't really a public speaker. He wasn't really into that kind of thing. And he would preach the word of God with boldness, with conviction, that just was indicative of a heart that was on fire for God, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 people at one time come to know the Lord. What an amazing thing. But as we read, as we have read verse 17 twice, let's read it one more time for the third time. Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. I think as we have read that three times, the things that jump out at us naturally are follow me. Man, I've heard that. Yeah, that's great. And then the other just weird phrase that pops out, you know, it was out of the ordinary, and it was fishers of men. Well, we become accustomed to that as we hear the Bible taught fishers of men. We understand the explanation of that. But I feel like there's something that's overlooked here many times. I think it's very easy to overlook in verse 17 as we focus on follow me and fishers of men, this key phrase of Jesus where he says, I will make you. I will make you. Though you're barely making ends meet, I will make you rich in heaven. Though you're striving and weak, I will make you strong. Though you're dazed and confused, I will make you wise and understanding. Though you feel that you've destroyed your life, you have ruined any possibility of being used by God in the future, I will make you a new creation. I will have the old things pass away, and I will make all things new. Or even though you're dead in your trespasses and in your sins, I will make you alive and forgiven and new and empowered and commissioned. This is what the Lord does for us. Just 2 weeks ago, we're a brand new church. Like Pastor Jack so graciously introduced me as being the pastor of a brand new church called Vision City Church. And it's in Irvine. And we're 9 months old. We're a brand new little baby church. And at the end of the services on Sunday morning, I'll greet people as they're coming out and, you know, try to get to know as many people that I can and say hi and that kind of thing. And this one gentleman came up to me and he didn't introduce himself, but the first thing out of his mouth was, hi, I'd like to know what your view on homosexuality is. And I looked at him and I thought, okay, all right. And I said, well, my view on homosexuality is a biblical view, just like I try to view everything through the lens of what the Lord tells us through His Word. I said, however, I do believe that sometimes the church can get it really wrong and that we treat homosexuality as if it were the unpardonable sin and that there's no place for those that are in that lifestyle to come and seek and hear the Word of God in church. And we went on and we even addressed some of the hot topics of the day and some of like, okay, what about the Old Testament law and what about shellfish? And you've heard, you know, the different things that pertain to why is homosexuality bad? And then, you know, he said, you know, I go to this church in Orange and they're very affirming and they're very accepting of homosexual Christians. And I said, okay. But he said, you know what? It just doesn't feel right to me. And I said, it's because it isn't. It isn't. And I said, the Lord is speaking to your heart and He's convicting you and He's showing you that there's things going on in your life because He loves you and He desires to help you. And as I'll give you the cliff notes, long story short, we were speaking and I said, a lot of times in the church, we attack the symptoms, not the root of the issue, which is sin. A lot of times we say, hey, stop doing this and stop doing that. And I said, I could tell you right now, and maybe you're here and you're in a homosexual lifestyle, I could tell you, stop being gay, and you would stop maybe trying, you would stop living in that lifestyle, and you would still die in your sins. So stopping being gay doesn't save you from your sins. Does that make sense? And so as the church, we need to understand that instead of, you know, if someone has a brain tumor and we're giving them Advil for their headaches, we're not getting down to the issue. The issue is sin. Man is born with a sinful nature. We naturally sin. You don't have to teach us to sin. We don't even need to practice it. We're just born good at it. It's just the way that it is. And sin manifests itself in a bunch of different ways. It can come out in personality. It can come out in selfishness. It can come out in our sexuality. It can come out in our anger. It can come out in a whole bunch of different ways. But the issue is sin. And so when I said that to him, he's just like, whoa, I never heard anything like that before, because there's a stigma from people outside the church with the church where, you know, if I'm in sin and I've done these things that, you know, unless I change this sin, then God doesn't love me. Well, here's the deal. You, I told him, I said, right now, because he said, I don't know, I don't know if I can change. I don't know if I can be different. You know, I've had, you know, this lifestyle and things that I've been doing and all that. And I don't even think I can be really a follower of Jesus because I don't think that I could change my life. And he was discouraged. And he was in that place where he's just going, I can't come to Jesus because I can't stop. Maybe you feel like that in a particular area of your life. And maybe you're not following after Jesus because you're like, I can't come to Jesus. Look at me. Look at these things I'm dealing with. I've tried to stop. I've tried to clean up my life. I've tried to be a better person. But you know, this. Why would God accept me? How could he accept me with my sin and all of this? And I told him, listen, here is the key. Following Jesus Christ isn't behavior modification. It is dead in sins to made alive in Christ. That's what it's about. It's not about, hey man, let me clean up the outside. I hope that makes its way inside. See, when you come to Jesus, yes, it is absolutely necessary in order to follow Jesus. You turn from your sin. You repent. It's a word we don't hear too often in a lot of churches around. We turn from our sin in order to follow Jesus. And I had the great privilege of leading that guy to receive Christ there in the doorway of our church. Praise the Lord, man. It was rad. Because what happens is that in any sin in our life, whatever it might be, and obviously, you know, that was a hot topic of the day, and so I felt that was apropos, but it was the Lord that did it. The principle of the matter is that Jesus changes who we are on the inside. He doesn't say, go clean your life up, and then when you're a better person, and if you, you know, not sin so much, then you can come follow me. He says, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. I will make you. I will change you. I will fashion you. I will transform you. In Philippians 2, verse 13, it says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. This is the Lord's work. This is what he's doing. This isn't trying to, you know, change my outside. This is come to Jesus. He changes you on the inside, and then your life demonstrates that. But what a contrast here that we're looking at here in the Word. You might think, well, what are the things being contrasted? He says, follow me, I'll make you become fishers of men. The contrast is here. Instead of catching fish out of life and bringing them into death, they would be catching men out of death and bringing them into life. Fishers of men. What a difference. What an amazing transformation that would happen in the lives of these two brothers. What an amazing transformation takes place in our lives when we follow him and we go all in following Jesus. And maybe even here tonight, there are some of you who are saying, I want that in my life. I want the Lord to make me into that man or that woman that he's created me to be. I want that. I desire that. Well, listen, you're going to have that opportunity this evening to have that exact thing. The Lord brought you here so you could hear this specific message so that you would be able to respond to him saying, follow me. I think in light of the call to follow Jesus, there are a couple misconceptions that we need to address. Misconception number one, as Jesus is calling, some people think that Jesus is only interested in the goody two shoes, the holier than thou people, the perfect little angels. You know, God's not interested in me because look what I've done. Look where I used to be. Look where I come from. I've done this and that, and I did the other thing too. Well, was this a mistake by Jesus when he called Peter and Andrew to follow him and to be the guy that would lead 3,000 people to the Lord in one shot? Was this a mistake that Jesus made? Some of you are like, what? No, don't worry, I'm not saying it is. I'm asking, like, is this a question. Like, was it a mistake that Jesus would call fishermen to follow him? Well, fishermen weren't exactly, I hate to break it to you guys, on the top of the totem pole socially. They weren't. I'm dirty, I'm smelly, maybe I'm intellectually challenged, maybe I have a learning disability, maybe I'm handicapped, maybe I have this setback or that. And it doesn't matter if you're a fisherman, it's called being a human being. I have this impediment, I have this shortcoming, and you know what? God's not going to call me because I have these things. Man, I got baggage. How can I explain this to you, Pastor? Baggage. Capital B-A-G-G-A-G-E. Baggage. It's wrapped around this whole building and came right down my aisle, right to where I'm sitting. Well, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. God knows all about the baggage. He's the one that sent his only son, Jesus, to set you free from all that baggage. So the misconception, number one, Jesus isn't interested in me. And some of you are probably thinking that because you feel condemned, you feel guilt, you feel sin, and you feel the weight of sin. And Satan wants to push you further and further away from Jesus. And so as you hear in your heart tonight, follow Jesus, all of a sudden these thoughts are popping up in your head why you can't and why it's too hardcore or it's too serious or, you know, whatever it might be. In Luke chapter 5, verse 31, Jesus said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So if you say I've sinned, God can't use me? Qualified. Right now, you're ready to go. If you've sinned and you've blown it and you know it, Number one candidate right there. You're ready to go. We're ready to rock. You're ready to follow Jesus because Jesus came to call the sinners to repentance. Misconception number two is some people think that only the most talented, like guys on the top tier, you know, of the huge companies, the best looking and brilliant people are called by Jesus. Those that only come from perfect homes and good neighborhoods and went to the nice schools, and those are the people that God's interested in. Let me share with you a little bit on that from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You don't need to turn there, but if you like, it's 1 Corinthians 1 verse 26. I'm going to start reading right now. It says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." Man, I glory in the Lord. Like, oh, thank you, God, for having mercy on me. Some people look in the mirror and they're just like, man, you're gorgeous. Look at me. I'm like the perfect candidate to be used by God in a mighty public way. Hey man, hate to break it to you. Got a face for radio and I don't know what's going to happen after that. So a lot of times we have a misconception because the world says, hey, this is the look, or these are the type of people, when Jesus is just saying, follow me and let me make you into that man, that woman that I've created you to be. So we saw follow me and fishers of men, but then we saw I will make you become. I will make you into that person. You're not going to make yourself into that person, and we all know that. So he's going to make us into that person. So remember, point number one was just Jesus' calling. And we saw, follow me. We saw fishers of men. And we saw, I will make you. And then point number two is just very simply, how are we responding? How are we responding? In Mark chapter 1, verse 18, let's see the response of these two guys. It says, they immediately left their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther from there, verse 19, Mark 1, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. Their response was immediate. They didn't wait and make excuses as others did, and we have them recorded. One, Jesus said, follow me, and he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Lord, let me first go, you know, see if I can take care of this first. Or Lord, I'll get around to it when I'm a little bit older. Or Lord, after I get this promotion, then I'll follow you. Or Lord, after I work out this relationship and she comes to know you, Lord, then I'll follow you. Or, no, listen. Immediately, right now, we are not guaranteed even an hour from right this second. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. So would you continue to push off the very thing that Jesus is calling you to do tonight? Which is to follow him with all of your heart, to love him with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Because there are you here tonight that are feeling discouraged, you're feeling isolated, you're feeling condemned. You're feeling too far gone. You're feeling that God can't use you, and you feel like you're just condemned to continue in this rut of life that you have found yourself in and keep having it repeat over and over and over. Well, tonight, the cycle ends. It ends. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what your affiliation is. It doesn't matter the things that you have committed in your life that you wish you could go back and change. If time travel was possible, I would go back and I would change these things. And no, listen, today's the day that Jesus is calling you to follow him. The call to follow Jesus is something that too many of us put off. When I'm older or whatever. And usually when people postpone the call of Jesus in their life, they never get around to heeding that call. So maybe this is your chance tonight. Maybe this is the last chance that you're going to get. I don't know. But do you want to take that chance? Or do you want to come to that place where you say, Lord, I'm going to follow you with all of my heart? If you're here this evening and maybe you came with a friend, maybe a family member invited you, and you've never personally committed your life to Jesus, and you know you have sin, and you're like, man, who hasn't sinned? Well, then you know that's actually biblical. You're like referencing scripture right now, and you don't even know it. Like the Bible says, we've all sinned. There are none righteous, no, not one. And you're here and you're like, man, I understand what this guy's saying. Miraculously, somehow, I know what he's saying. And I don't want to live a life that leads to eternal separation from God, that leads to death. I don't want it. I want to be right with God. I want to be forgiven of my sins. Well, tonight, I'm going to give you that opportunity. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. Tonight, Jesus is calling you to follow him. And you're going to say, you know what? I am all in and I'm going to follow him. I'm going to leave my old life behind and I want what God has for me. There's some of you here tonight that know the stories of the Bible. You know, you're very, very up here intellectually. You got it down. You know the applications, but you haven't traveled the distance from here to here, which can be very, very, very long and a very difficult road. I know this, I've heard this before, but your heart's hardened to it. Maybe you need to repent and turn from your sin and follow Jesus and go, I'm all in. I'm following him immediately. Maybe it means some drastic changes in your life. Maybe you're already weighing it out in your mind saying, well, if I follow Jesus, then this. If I follow Jesus, then that means that I got to delete this phone number. If I follow Jesus, then that means that these friends are probably going to be hasta la vista, baby. You got to understand right now, when Jesus said, what will it profit you if you hang on to these things and lose your very soul? Jesus is calling you to a full-time lifestyle commitment of following his every move. And so, in light of that, I'm going to close with prayer. I could even say, and in closing, which a wise old pastor once said is the quickest way to get your audience's attention. And in closing, everyone's like, oh, great message. I loved it. All right, let's pray. So we're going to pray, and I'm going to give you an invitation. If you need to come to the Lord and receive Jesus, or if you need to come back to him, that you come back to him today. Do not let another moment go by without following Jesus with all of your heart. For those of you that are walking with the Lord and you are, just fighting the good fight, would you please join with me in praying quietly to yourself for those who are going to be making that commitment this evening? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us abundantly. And Lord, that you have given us this opportunity tonight, Lord, to know that following you isn't a behavior modification. It is a transformation. Going from being dead in our sins to alive in Christ. And so, Lord, I pray right now for any man, any woman, young or old, or somewhere in between. Lord, if they have not put their faith in you, they have not repented and turned from their sin, and maybe they've been battling with the whole, oh, maybe I need to be a better person or clean my life up or go to church more or do good, more good things, Lord, I pray that today, Lord, would be the day of their salvation. I pray, Lord, that they would come just as they are, with their questions, with their failures. Lord, you see all of it. You know everything already, and you sent your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for them. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give them, Lord, the strength to come to follow you. And, Lord, I pray, Father, for those that have walked away from you, Lord, that they would come back to you tonight. That they would spend no more time, Lord, living after the lusts of the flesh and those things that they thought would make them happy. But they found themselves miserable and empty. And so, Lord, would they come back to you tonight? Draw them back to you, Lord. We ask that there would be no obstacles, no roadblocks, that they would come to you and be set free, be forgiven, and follow you. With every eye closed and head bowed, if you're here this night and you've never given your life to Jesus and you would like to be forgiven of your sins, then very simply, listen to me very carefully. I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand wherever you're at and say, yes, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus tonight. Raise your hand high, please, so I can see it. You know who you are. God bless you. Anybody else? Just raise your hand. Right on. Anybody else? Raise your hand. You've never made that profession of faith, and it's time for you to get right with Jesus. Please raise your hand. Tonight is a radical night. Tonight is the night where you do business with God. Anybody else? Please raise your hand right now. Don't let anything hinder you. Don't weigh it out. Oh man, what about this and what about that? No, you know what you need to do. Please raise your hand right now and hold it up because I'm going to pray for you. And please, this isn't the time to be looking around. This is the time for you. If you're a Christian, you pray like you never prayed before. And if you're not and you've never given your life to Jesus, please raise your hand right now. And also, as those are raising their hands, if you've walked away from the Lord and you need to come back to Him tonight, you've compromised, you've been dealing in a bunch of sin and things that need to go, and you need to repent of that lifestyle and come back to following Jesus with all of your heart, would you raise your hand too so I can pray for you right now? Please raise your hand up right now. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do not leave these doors without getting right with God. Come on, raise your hand up. You know who you are. There are people that are praying for you right now because this is such a huge decision to follow Him. Anybody else? Please raise your hand. This is the last time I'm going to ask. So if your heart's beating out of your chest and you're like, I know I should do this, raise your hand right now. This is your little act of faith because I'm going to pray for you right now. Anybody else? Father, I pray for these that have raised their hands. And Lord, I ask now that you would encourage them and strengthen them and lift them up. And Lord, as they make this profession of faith, as you say, follow me. And Lord, as they stand and as they set that precedent for the rest of their life, Lord, and following you, I pray, God, that you would give them the boldness now that they need to stand for you. And if you raised your hand with every eye closed and head bowed, the first step in walking is getting up. I'm going to ask you to even stand to your feet. If you raised your hand, would you stand up right now? Push up as that man or as that woman who says, I've decided to follow Jesus. The rest of the church, please be praying. There's people standing all over the sanctuary. If you raised your hand, don't stand back. Don't stay there. Stand up. Stand up right now and say, I'm deciding to follow Jesus. Anybody else, stand up right now. Father, we pray, God, that you would do this work by the power of your Spirit. And Lord, we ask, God, that you would bless your people. And Lord, as the invitation is given to receive you, Lord, I pray that there would not be one person that raised their hand, Lord, left seated in their seat, but they would say, today is the day that things change. Today is the day that I follow Jesus with all of my heart. And Lord, I ask for these things. Lord, help us. Lord, we ask for them in Jesus' name. Let's all stand now. Let's all stand to our feet. If you raised your hand and you didn't stand, if you raised your hand and you did stand, look right now, we're all standing. We're all standing. And what's going to happen is Josiah is going to lead us in a song, a short worship song. This is the time for the church to praise. But if you raised your hand and you said, I want to come to Jesus, if you raised your hand and said, I want to come back to Jesus, then as he sings and as we worship, I'm going to invite you to slide out of your seat and to come and join me here at these stairs. And I'm going to lead you in that prayer of dedicating or rededicating your life to Christ. So come now, just as you are, as we sing. You get up, you're already up, slide out of that seat and come and join me right here. So come right now to the front, wherever you may be. Come right now. Come and join me right here. You might think, man, that's a long way. No, hey, come on. The Lord died on the cross, sent his son Jesus to die for you. Get out of your seat and come and join these that are up here right now. If you see somebody want to come out, just move out of their way and come forward now. Come forward now. Peace, Father.
Just as I am, though tossed about with all my conflict, all my doubt, fightings and fears within, without a Lamb of God I come. Jesus, take all of me. I run to you, I run to you, I lay everything at
now, I know that there's more of you. I saw your hands go up. Now you might say, well, why am I coming forward? Well, Jesus calls people publicly. He doesn't call people incognito. He doesn't say, hey, when you get around to it or when you feel like it. Jesus says, come, follow me just as you are. He calls people to come publicly because this sets the standard. This sets the tone for when you leave church, man, and the world's going against you. You're like, man, I'm following Jesus. So if you raised your hand and you put it back down, you're like, no way, man. I'm cool with raising my hand, but when it comes like going up there, no, listen, people don't care about anything other than seeing people that need Jesus receive Jesus. And so tonight, right now, I know that there is a major, major spiritual battle that is happening. Now, it's been hot lately, man. Like, it's been really hot. And, you know, pool parties just go crazy in the heats like this. And for any of you that have ever been to a pool party, have had the grave misfortune of standing by the edge with your phone and your keys and your wallet. And your friends have that look in their eye, like, you're going in, man. And then what immediately happens to you? You're like, if I'm going in, you're going in. And you start pulling hair and gouging eyes, and that's the guys. The girls are like way worse than that. And it's like, I'm pulling you in. Are you good at me? I'm pulling you in. Well, listen, all joking aside, serious note, Satan is going to this large pool called the Lake of Fire. He's already condemned to go there. He's going in. And what he's trying to do is take as many of us as he can with him. So no, this isn't happening. The lifeline is thrown out tonight, man. You got to take hold of Jesus. Come follow him. And so what's going to happen is I'm going to ask that you would please pray with me, and we're going to pray one last time for the chains to be broken. We ask for all those people that are still in their seats that need to come forward and receive Jesus or come back to him, would come forward, and that they wouldn't be scared, that they wouldn't be fearful, that they'd be in that place of complete surrender to the Lord. So would you please pray with me? Father, we pray now over every single person that is in this auditorium, for anyone that's watching this webcast, whoever will watch this later. But Lord, tonight we ask that the chains be broken. Lord, that your people be set free. And Lord, those that are feeling intimidated or scared or worried, whatever it may be, that they would know that this prayer is for them and that you desire that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Lord, we ask God that you would reach every last person here tonight. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing this song. This is your cue.